Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, and we're back.
Yes, we are. Finally.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Folks, you don't know how much we have missed being on the air. It's been a long time. We're not going to kid you. We're not going to try to make out no time has passed since we've been on the air. But, Diane, we have had every issue in the book.
Right. I think the last time we were successfully on air might have been at the end of February, and none of it is because of our own doing.
Yeah, it was nothing we did wrong. It was just a cascade of events.
Right, and it was topped off with our servers, the actual radio servers, by Sam's broadcaster actually needing major maintenance.
Yeah, the Shoutcast servers.
Shoutcast, I meant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, look, it's... All of this kind of started, the downhill slide kind of started when you fell down.
Literally, you know, it's one of the things from the being hit by a car last year. The foot that was pretty badly injured gave way at the ankle to protect the foot. I put my hands down, little realizing I was going backwards, and my hand snapped backwards and broke the wrist. I literally could not write, let alone type at a computer.
Well, not only that, you couldn't even operate a computer mouse.
No, because the big metal brace they had me in, I couldn't even put my hand around a mouse.
Okay, so that kind of started thing. Okay, then,
yes. Then
as Diane was recovering from that and got to the point where she thought she could actually sit at the computer, not writing, not doing op-eds and stuff, but, you know, sit there and work the mouse enough to be on the air. We thought, okay, we're going to get back on the air. I think it was a Tuesday. And Monday night, my hard drive and my computer died.
A very painful death.
And a very loud death.
Yes.
The thing was making grinding noises. Diane could hear it. Mm-hmm. I was on the phone with her. She's like, what's that noise? That's my hard drive is dying. And it went. And I wound up with a backup computer. Yeah, I took mine in. There's a little place not too far away from here called Simple Solutions. And Phil does a great job. He's a great guy. But not only did my hard drive go, but the fan that cools everything inside there, that went too. Well, it was going to take over a week to get a fan because, you know, not all fans are created equal. And he had a special order of the fan. So he gave me a backup computer, and we thought, okay, we'll get on the air with the backup computer. No, because the backup computer was only a 4 gig, which is good for staring at a screensaver.
Yeah, 4 gigabytes does not carry a radio station, folks.
No, and so we had to wait for my computer to get repaired. We got it repaired. We got all the software loaded back in, right? We're thinking, great, we're going to be on the air. It was going to be a Friday. We're going to come back. No, that's when the Shoutcast servers went.
Right. And why I keep calling them Sam's, I don't know. But, yeah, they kept messaging me, we are in the middle of major maintenance. And then the next day, we're now in maintenance to repair the maintenance that we just installed.
Right.
Then when they get it all right, we still couldn't get on air. I messaged them, and they say, well, we're repairing again, and a whole bunch of people can't get on. You're not the only ones, but we'll get you on. Well, it took all this time.
Well, it did. And then, that's not the end of it. We also had some issues with the SAMS software and the voice meter software. So we spent some good quality hours, hours upon hours upon hours, with our tech guru, whose name is Andrew, and doing this, doing that, and everything looked like it was going to be fine. And then the day before yesterday, I happened to notice Diana and I were talking on Skype, as we do every single day. I just happened to notice that I wasn't getting any voice levels for her. My levels were fine. I could hear Diana on Skype, but nothing was coming through the software. So another couple hours with Andrew, the tech guru, last night. And then I had to go in this morning and readjust my mic settings. But here we are.
Yeah, finally, Andrew had to go into pipelines. Whatever those are, they're critical. Do we know anything about them? No.
Oh, hell no.
We know they have to be operational.
Yeah, well, yeah, that makes us experts, right?
Right.
Yeah, right. We actually had more problems than SpaceX SN11.
Yeah. But none of them, what's funny about all of this, none of this was our doing. It once we got past my hand issue, once we got past Craig's fixing his computer issue, it all fell on Shoutcast. Their servers were being maintenance time after time after time until they got it right and got all their people back on air.
Yeah, I mean, it was a goofy, long, drawn-out process. And yes. We kept thinking over and over again, this one's going to be it. We're going to get on the air. Nope. This one's going to be it. Nope.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it was frustrating. But we're back. We're back. Yes. Luckily, absolutely nothing happened since the end of February, so we missed nothing.
Oh, yes, we live in liberal land now. It's maddening. Waking up in the morning, you got to wonder what stupid thing are Biden and the Democrats going to do today to destroy this country.
It's like swimming in a crock of crap.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
it's actually drowning in it.
Every day, it's a new pile of crap, and nothing has changed. Now, before we get into some of the news of the day, let me just tell you what we got coming up on the show, because we actually have stuff.
Yes.
Okay, this is all brand new. Diane can almost sort of kind of type again.
In short spurts, yes.
Yes. So she has painfully and painstakingly put together an op-ed under the title of Weapons of Cultural War.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about that. I've got a commentary, Wake Up America. So we'll be talking about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now let's get to some of the issues of the day. Diane, what's got your hair lit on fire today?
Actually, three of them. And two of them concerns Biden. Biden is going to increase by May 15th the cap that he had already agreed upon, the number of refugees that he was going to allow into this country, or as we correctly call them, illegals into this country. He's raising it from 15,000 per month that he said he would allow to now over 32,000 a month, including illegals, as we correctly call them, from Somalia, Yemen, and Syria.
Well, what's wrong with those people?
Welcome,
those are perfectly
terrorists.
Yeah, what's wrong with those people? Those are perfectly nice people. There's not been a problem in the world caused by anybody from that part of the world.
Exactly. With Somalia, we can Ilhan Omar, Somalia. What fine people we're going to be seeing.
You know, here's the problem with it. Okay. Excuse me. The problem is, we know none of these people are going to be vetted. If you get in line, you're coming in.
Correct. In other words, by the end of the year, folks, within a year's span of time, we're going to have 125,000 of these people, the salt of the earth people, coming into our country. They're not going to leave their crap holes behind.
They're going to
try to turn our country into the crap holes they left behind.
That's part of the problem, isn't it?
Yes, a big part.
I mean, my God, asylum? Really? You're seeking asylum? And then you come over here and you turn this into the country you left that you're seeking asylum from? Really?
Yeah. This is just so wrong. And I mean, this comes on top of officially going to try to add justices to the Supreme Court, which means our immigration policies are basically shot to hell.
Completely.
Yeah.
I mean, good God.
It's a sad commentary on America.
It just gets worse and worse. I do have a bit of breaking news in case anybody's interested.
Okay.
Breaking news. Prince Philip is still dead.
Why did I have a feeling you were going to say that? His funeral is going to be tomorrow, and they're going to carry it live on air starting 9:30 EST time in the morning. But you know something? It's going to be a little bit odd, because normally the royal family would be walking behind. If you remember how when Princess Diana died, all the royals walked behind. They're not allowing Harry. One of his grandsons is going to be walking with William, not Harry.
Wow.
Yeah, and Meghan ain't going to be there because she's not allowed to travel because she's pregnant and due sometime in the middle of the summer. Well, pregnant women are allowed to travel at her stage of pregnancy, but you know, this sort of keeps the spotlight off her
by
not allowing her there, and maybe somebody can knock some sense into Harry while he's over there alone.
You know, the instrument to measure the minuteness of my caring has yet to be invented.
Well, you know, it's still, our mother country. The royalty are basically figureheads, but it's British tradition. And Prince Philip, he was a decent man. And I could honor him for what he's done. He was a World War II hero. I can understand that the Queen and he were married for 75 years. So there's some feeling there. But we're not a country that believes in the monarchy. So I look at it as the funeral of a world leader.
You know, I'll say this. There is one British tradition that I thoroughly enjoy.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
And that is?
The British losing wars on American soil.
Oh, yeah. That's a good tradition.
That's a tradition I can get into. Okay.
Yeah.
Outside of that, here's the thing, though. His funeral is going to take place tomorrow, but the mourning goes on and on and on for like a month and a half.
That's the official, you can't say anything really about that because we lower the flag for important people for a month. So that's each country's tradition. I don't have any fault with that. It's mourning within the family and within the country, the people in the country who honor the monarchy. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I
have more of a problem with our country lowering flags for thugs, drug addicted
right.
singers, and that kind of stuff, and ignoring veterans. I have more of a problem with that.
Well, I do. I agree with you. I'll agree with you there. You know, but this is like when Cummins died, and they had like 12 funerals.
That was a joke.
You know, I mean that's crazy.
That's a joke.
That's just nuts. You know, I look at this and I think, okay. The news was, it was a couple of days ago, the big news over there across the pond was the Queen was back at work. And I'm thinking, back at work?
Yes.
She has a job? What the hell does she do?
Well, it's her official charity organizations and things like that. And I mean, the woman is in her 90s, I believe, and you know, God bless her. She's going strong. She just lost her husband of 75 years. She's the titular head of one of the great nations on earth, and I give her credit.
Okay. I mean, I am not a fan of the royals.
I didn't say I was a fan of the royals. I said I give her credit for carrying on after her husband just died.
Oh, I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of carrying on going on, you know, in that family, especially with Harry back there, even if he's only there for 24 hours.
Yeah, well, Harry turned into a big joke, so.
Oh, well, you know.
He made his mother so proud, right?
Right. Right. I mean, you know, that's BLM. We now, you know, it used to be that BLM stood for Black Lives Matter. Not anymore. Not
What's
anymore.
The new thing that it stands for?
Buy Large Mansions.
Yes. How about that? The head of BLM bought herself, what is it, a $16 million mansion?
She owns four now.
Four? In a white neighborhood? You know, is she blockbusting?
Yeah, maybe. You know,
I guess. What a hypocrite. Why not take the $16 million and help the poor black people that you claim to represent and want to help? You haven't done a damn thing for them.
Diane, that's completely beside the point. You know,
she'll probably have all white servants.
She's getting rich on the scheme. You know, mm-hmm. she's buying big houses. Now, you know, when you buy a big house, and she owns four of them, when you buy a big house, you're going to need several big screen TVs. Luckily, there are riots going on across the nation where big screen TVs are the hot item.
Gee, I wonder how many will make it over to her many little mansions there.
I'll bet more than one.
I bet you. That woman is an utter disgrace, and black people need to stand up and speak out against these people. There are some, like Candace Owens and Tim Scott. They do speak out.
Right.
But they need more and more black Americans speaking out against these people.
You know who's really mad as hell about all of this?
Who?
Rachel Dolezal. Sister can't get a big screen TV.
Aw, poor little white girl.
She goes to Target, can't get away with a TV.
Oh, well. Oh, well. What can you do, right?
What are you going to do?
I don't know. What are you going to do when you pretend to be something you're not?
Kind of like Biden pretending to be lucid.
Oh, dear, that man is seriously, he is medically and mentally unqualified to be president of the United States, and he has his finger on the nuclear button. Folks, if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will.
You know, Funny you bring that up. That is terrifying.
It is.
Yeah, remember, it was just a few years ago, the liberals were all scared crapless because Trump had his finger on the button. You know, oh, he's going to start a nuclear war. I mean, before he ever got into office, that guy will start a nuclear war. You wait, we won't be 2 weeks into his presidency and he'll be shooting nukes at everybody.
Right. And now we got Biden, you know, if he can keep his hands, you know, steady enough not to accidentally press the button. I mean, there comes a point, people, when you have to realize that Joe Biden is a placeholder president. That's all he was ever intended to be. Kamala Harris is going to be Obama's third term in office. And if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will.
Well, you got that right.
Yeah.
Most people don't know Burgess Owens, representative from Utah, Republican. He hasn't made a lot of waves, right?
Yeah.
But he's an interesting guy. Okay.
Okay.
The Salt Lake City Tribune, that would be in Salt Lake City, oddly enough.
Oddly.
They put up an editorial cartoon comparing Representative Burgess Owens to the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, really? Okay.
Representative Burgess Owens is a black man.
Well, you know why they did it.
No, I don't. Tell me.
He's an Uncle Tom in their eyes.
I thought maybe it was because he was from Utah. They just figured everybody looks like the Osmonds. I mean, I don't know.
What? Yeah, you're probably like Mitt Romney?
Well, Mitt Romney looks like a liberal. He walks around with his head up his keister all day.
He is.
You know, I mean, what a goofy thing this is. He is the only black member of the Utah delegation, okay? And they compare him to a member of the Ku Klux Klan. How desperate do you have to be to tell lies?
Well, you can tell lies because the media will report the lies as truth and will not call them to task. So anything goes.
Now,
I'm surprised you haven't realized that a Democrat, a liberal, can do anything they want.
Slipped my mind.
And the media will back them up, they'll cover for them, and they'll never expose them.
Slipped my mind.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens when we don't go on the air for a month and a half. Things start to slip my mind. But it gets better, okay? This thing with Burgess Owens. Some people, not Diane, but other people, I mean, real Americans, would remember Burgess Owens as an NFL football player. Okay? But Burgess Owens, his great-great-grandfather, man by the name of Silas Burgess. Okay? Now remember, Burgess Owens has been compared to a member of the Ku Klux Klan by the Salt Lake City Tribune. His great-great-grandfather, Silas Burgess, came to America in the belly of a slave ship.
Oh, God.
Okay? Now, I mean, that's what makes this so incredibly stupid. I mean, here you got a guy whose great-great-grandfather was literally a slave in this country.
Right.
Okay? And they're comparing him to a member of the Klan. Now, let's also not forget, the Ku Klux Klan is a Democrat organization.
They started it, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like, oh, well, my, you know, God.
They need this to keep the racism narrative going. They have to keep it going at all costs. Because if the entirety of the black population woke up and realized the truth, the Democrats would be done.
Right.
And we're waiting for that day, but who knows when it'll come.
Now, Burgess Owens' father, he moved the family to Columbus, Ohio, because his father went to the University of Ohio and got his PhD there, or actually Ohio State, and got his PhD there. Okay, then the family moved to Tallahassee, where his dad was a professor of agriculture at Florida A&M.
Okay.
Burgess Owens grew up, or his father grew up in the days of Jim Crow and the Klan. Owens said he had no interaction with any white Americans until he was 16 years old. And this is the guy, this liberal catbox liner, as compared to a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Unbelievable,
nothing
right?
Nothing better to do. Nothing better to do.
It's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, this country is really, I don't know what's happening to our country. I do know that's the problem. And I have to keep, you know, my mouth shut from saying what I really want to say.
I know.
And so do you.
Yes, so do I. That's why I was just chuckling, because I thought, hey, lady, you ain't the only one.
I know.
Folks, we got a great show coming up for you here. We got a couple of things we want to delve into. Diane, you have penned a piece, an op-ed called Weapons of Cultural War.
Yes.
And, you know, the two pieces we're going to do here for the next two segments of the show are actually very complementary of one another. They kind of fit together like puzzle pieces.
Yes. And it's sort of, mine is the lead-in to what Craig is going to say.
My commentary for tonight is called Wake Up America. Okay, so we've got those two things coming up. We're going to take a short break here, get a couple of station IDs in for you. When we come back, Diane's got it with Weapons of Cultural War. Folks, stay where you are. We're glad to be back. Glad you're out there listening. We hope we got a few people out there listening tonight. If not, or if you miss any part of the show, don't worry. Podcast, we'll get that up for you tomorrow. You can go to rspradio1.com, click on the podcast, and boom, you're in right there.
Right. We'll be back. Podcast, definitely.
Folks, stay where you are. More Right Side Patriots right after this. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey right over there at the Patriot Factor. Glad you're with us tonight, folks. And like we said, if you miss any part of the show or you want to hear part of it over, and we know you probably will, you go over to RSPRadio1.com, click the podcast button tomorrow morning, and there it will be.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good to be back on the air, Diane. But folks, I got to tell you a little inside scoop here. As we were in that break, I told Diane, I said, I'm staring at the boards here, trying to remember which buttons I'm supposed to push when.
I know how that is, because once I wrote this article, the first article in about 2 months, I'm like having to remember, okay, I post it one way in this group. I post it another way in this group. I have to still post it a different way in the website. I mean, you forget all the intricacies when you're gone that long.
You do. I mean, you do it so much out of habit. And then when the habit gets broken, then you got to get back into the habit. And that's what we're doing right now. All right, Diane. Exactly. So you have penned up an op-ed called Weapons of Cultural War. Tell us all about this.
Okay, and let's start with a simple question. Is American culture dead? In a not-so-simple answer, yes. At least the culture most of us grew up in is. And if it's not dead, it's on serious life support. And the culture I speak of is a culture where freedom was valued above all else, and where liberty and justice for all had not yet become media-driven, frowned-upon sentiments. Such a sad commentary on today's America we are currently bearing witness to. America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, has now, at least in the political realm, become a land where a placeholder president gets away with ruling by executive order, while his political opponents cower in fear of being called racists. Racists, in the broadest and most twisted sense of the word, as in those being perceived to be driven by narrow-minded bigotry of anything proposed by or initiated by the left. America, a once true melting pot of blended races and cultures, is now anything but, as the voices of certain minorities seem to override the majority and dominate both common sense and the political discourse, while at the same time seeing these same folks completely separating themselves from what was once viewed as the sum of American culture. And this in turn has now filtered down into becoming broad-based cultural biases, biases not without merit, yet biases having little or nothing to do with race or ethnicity, per se, while having everything to do with politically driven anti-American ideologies. In other words, intolerance morphing directly into abject censorship, a special form of ostracism, where tolerance of differences actually becomes selectively enforced offensiveness. And what better way to describe such anti-American ideologies than with the two words, cancel culture, the movement trying to erase and rewrite American history itself, as if tearing down statues, removing paintings, and other such foibles changes actual history. It emphatically does not and will not, for what was, period. Now going against not only our American way of life and what is basically Western prevailing societal norms, values, and ethics, the adherents of this ideology, for the most part, are black malcontents who think today's white folks owe them something for their ancestors' past. Are spoiled rich white kids with too much time and money on their hands? Or are those liberal sorts who love using race and misplaced sensibilities to force their opponents into both political and cultural submission? Now being given free rein by the Democrat powers that be to publicly shame those who don't agree with them, cancel culture has become a movement trapped in a highly focused yet extremely dangerous groupthink sort of mentality whose mission, if you will, is to lay assault on our traditional sense of moral law and order as well as on American cultural and religious values. And they're doing so in order to gain the upper hand over the multitudes of cowardly politicians too afraid to initiate any sort of action to oppose them. And the mainstream media, who while pushing forward their own self-fabricated brand of anger and hate based solely upon politically generated lies and innuendos, relishes in reaping both a ratings bonanza and large financial advertising rewards by actually giving not only the adherents of said cancel culture a voice, but Craig, by giving the adherents of what's now called woke culture a platform as well, a platform by which they too can speak out and oppose any and all things American and do so without fear of either media or political reprisal.
Well, you know, the cancel culture is what it is, and it's been morphing and kind of undulating and changing, but this woke culture is relatively new, hasn't been around quite as long as the cancel culture. Can you go more in depth on what this woke culture is and what it entails?
Right, and like Craig said, it's a somewhat new ideology, but it simply is the now favored media description du jour of those progressive sorts who have suddenly and oh so miraculously woken up, as in become aware of what they perceive to be not only ongoing unaddressed racial discrimination issues, but other assorted social injustices here in the U.S. as well, including the standard plethora of leftist issues: climate change, abortion, inclusion, fossil fuels, illegals, etc., that are both the hallmark and calling card of those out to destroy our beloved America. And while the whole idea of being woken has its origin in Black culture, it's now being used as a catch-all phrase in the political discourse thanks, so sarcastically said of course, to the Black Lives Matter movement that uses the hashtag @StayWoke to reignite both the overt animosity and the physical flames of racial tension that was slowly starting to temper down here in our country. Animosity and a path towards said flames that, I believe, was actually deliberately initiated and set by Barack Hussein Obama, courtesy of his infamous words, "If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin." Simply, the joint ideologies, the joint weapons of cultural war of both cancel culture and woke culture has not only divided our country into warring political camps, but into actual race-baiting camps as well. Camps that do not even bother to hide the fact that their goal is to openly pit Black folks against white folks and law and order folks against a criminal element now being given free rein to run amok by an administration run amok itself. And Craig, while cancel culture's and woke culture's adherents claim that what they do is based upon their First Amendment right to free speech, their supposed striving for racial equality and their right to the pursuit of happiness, they in turn willingly and knowingly deny those very same rights to those of us who oppose them.
So we've got cancel culture, we've got woke culture. Now, these are two cousins, if you will, and neither one of them sprung up out of a vacuum. These things weren't organically created and flashed out of nothingness. There's a root system for these ugly shrubs. What is it?
Right. But the truth is, like you said, cancel culture and woke culture are just more of the ugliness that is political correctness. Political correctness on steroids that will, in time, run its course, with the only difference in their modus operandi in today's America being the using of a now deemed more hip vernacular to address the same old tired, overplayed issues that surface when election years roll around, especially when a change in political power is looming. And while some folks hope that things will change for the better and do so in a more timely manner, reality itself has proven that change will not come via intimidation, threats, or political coercion, but will only come with yet another change in administration. And really, no one in either party has the power to wave the proverbial magic wand or sprinkle enough unicorn fairy dust to make lasting and positive change happen any sooner than destiny dictates. Simply, only time and the maddening futility of still non-existent events will determine whether things, no matter the label du jour attached to them, will change our country's current status quo, unless we the people rise up to claim the ultimate sought-after prize, as in the America we remember and long for, as in the land of the free and the home of the brave, a land where liberty and justice for all is the true order of the day.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Yes.
You know, political incorrectness or political correctness, that, you know, I can remember that going all the way back to the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and if you said something that was a little off kilter, somebody would look and go, "That's not politically correct." You know, I know, but I mean, that was kind of the extent of it, right? You know, right. But now with cancel culture and woke culture, You know, it's no more a waggle of the finger and, you know, don't say things like that. That's not politically correct. It's no longer that. Now, you can lose your job, your livelihood. You could lose a home. I mean,
yes.
This is, like you say, on steroids. This is now a true weapon. It's no longer a scolding. It's an actual weapon.
Yes, they're using it as a weapon. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's going to get worse, folks, as time goes on. Because when Joe Biden is removed under the 25th Amendment, which I believe within a year's time he will be, we'll have Kamala Harris and her special brand of hate pushing cultural change across the board. And of course, her puppet master will be Obama. So we're in for a rude awakening, except that unless something is done to stop it.
Well, and what can be done? I guess that's the question.
The only thing I can say at this point, and I'm not espousing this, but I'll say it in one word. Or I should say in numbers, 1776.
I can't disagree with you. I really can't. You know, I mean, go back a few years, folks. I mean, you know, this cancel culture has been around, was around before it actually had a name.
Yes.
Okay, before anybody put the label on it. And the first person that I can remember getting canceled was Roseanne Barr.
Yes. I remember that. Yeah.
You know, she made a joke about Valerie Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Just like that, she was done. Lost her television show, lost her livelihood. All the people that worked on that show, gone, canceled, out.
Well, you know? No, they actually carried on the show under the moniker of the Conners.
Yeah, but no way is it the same show. It took a couple of years before the Conners was brought to television after that.
They
canceled Roseanne. Now, you know, you think, well, TV shows get canceled all the time. They didn't cancel the show. They canceled her.
Right. Because the show was a rating success. And they thought they can carry on without her. But the show never had the momentum that it had with Roseanne. She was who they built the show around. And they canceled her out because she didn't like a comment. They didn't like a comment, I should right. say, that she made. In other words, she was not allowed her opinion.
Right. And you know, Roseanne Barr is, I guess, really a libertarian.
She's more libertarian, but she supported Trump and whatever.
But you know, she didn't see things the way liberals did. And that's why they hated her.
Right. Okay?
It's not unlike what ABC did to Last Man Standing and Tim Allen.
Right. Fox picked them up, but
right.
it's now canceled again.
Well, this time it's not really canceled. This time Tim Allen pulled the plug himself. You know, they did, I think, 2 years, maybe 3 years over at Fox.
Right.
And, and Tim Allen, I mean, they, you know, he hates leaving the show because he loves the characters. He hated leaving Home Improvement, too. You know,
that's
because
true.
He loved
I liked
those characters.
That show.
But Tim Allen, yeah, oh, I did, too. That was a fun show. But, you know, Tim Allen just looks at the television world and he says, okay, I think we've done about as much with these characters as we can possibly do without continually repeating ourselves.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to do that, you know? So, you know, he said, okay, you know, we've got it. We've done everything we can do with these characters. It's time to walk away. And, you know, he made that decision to walk away, just like Jerry Seinfeld made the decision to walk away, just like Paul Reiser and you know, they walked away from Mad About You, you know. But Roseanne, they canceled her personally.
Right.
You know, that's where this started, but it didn't even have a name. It wasn't cancel culture yet. It didn't have a name, but that's the first one I remember.
Yeah, no, I remember that with Roseanne and how unfair it was just because she made a joke, basically. These people are so sensitive, they can't even take a joke. Well, and that's pretty sad in and of itself.
You know, look at, and neither one of us are huge followers of any celebrities. Okay. I don't follow any of them. I do stalk Halle Berry, but that's different. look at what happened with Hank Azaria this week.
I don't know. I don't even look at celebrity crap.
Okay, well, let me tell you. Hank, and I've never seen, I'm like maybe one of two or three people that have never seen an episode. But
of
on
what show?
The Simpsons.
I've never seen it either.
Okay, so there's two of us, right?
Okay.
But he voiced a character on that called Apu. And Apu was the guy that ran the 7-Eleven, and he was an Indian from India. Okay? Hank Azaria is not Indian. He's an Armenian white guy. I think he's Armenian. I don't know. But
he's American.
He's American, but I mean heritage-wise.
Okay.
Hank Azaria is one of the funniest guys in all of show business and has been for years and years and years. First time I ever saw him talking about Mad About You, he was the guy that walked Murray the dog on Mad About You.
I really didn't watch that show. I don't know much about it.
Love that show. But Hank Azaria quit a year ago, quit voicing Apu because Fox no longer will allow people who are white to voice characters who aren't.
Oh, what is so, first of all, Indians are technically and scientifically classified as Caucasians.
I know.
So Fox is out of their you know.
Yeah, I know.
Liberal minds there.
Okay, so before they could pull the plug on him, he was the bigger man. He stepped up and said, I understand, and I'm going to resign my position voicing Apu. Now, he voices a couple other characters on there, too, but those characters happen to be white. So he said, I will no longer voice Apu. They got an Indian guy to voice the Indian guy. But this week, Hank Azaria came out and issued an apology to all Indians. An apology to all Indians.
Well, I just lost any respect I had for the man.
Now, my question, and, you know, for all I know, Hank Azaria could be listening to this show, or somebody could say, hey, listen to the podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hank Azaria is not gay. However, Hank Azaria played a gay man in The Birdcage with Nathan Lane and Robin Williams.
That was a great movie.
And Hank Azaria, he was the house boy. Okay? Funny. I mean, good God, that guy had me on the floor laughing.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Hank, are you going to apologize to all the gay people because you played a gay and you weren't?
This is ridiculous. This is their job. Their job is acting, portraying things that they're not.
Uh-huh.
They're playing a part.
Uh-huh. So, well, all the actors in Hollywood, every last one of them, will they apologize to everybody, every profession, every type of person they have ever portrayed on screen, big or small? Will they now be issuing apologies to all of them and all of them quit acting? Could we be so lucky?
No, we can't. And I want you to know that I will never apologize to anyone for something as inane as that. That is absolutely ridiculous.
But
that's
see, Hank,
why
Hank's
I have
woke.
No interest in celebrities. I have no interest in their movies. I have no interest in their lives. I think they're basically a waste of time.
I agree. You know, and I used to be a movie critic.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed nothing more than seeing about 300 movies a year in the theater. And I did. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I have not seen a movie now. Well, the last movie I saw was 4 years ago. Last one I went to in a theater was 4 years ago. Maybe five, but at least four. American Sniper with Bradley Cooper.
I don't even remember the last movie I saw in a theater. It had to be something science fiction. I know that.
I mean, Bradley Cooper played Chris Kyle.
Okay.
Okay, and okay. I really, really, really wanted to see that because I think Chris Kyle was one of the most fantastic members of our military we've had in my lifetime.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, so I went and saw that. But outside of that, I haven't seen a movie in a theater in 10 years. I think before that, the last one I saw was maybe the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Although I saw all of those, and I think the last movie I actually saw was the last Star Wars movie.
I haven't seen any of those new Star Wars movies in the theater. I've seen them on TV.
Yeah, no, I think it was the one with, oh gee, with the girl Jedi at the very end. I don't remember the name offhand.
Yeah, her name in that movie was, her character name was Rey.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be, but it's been that long because I have such disdain for Hollywood at this point.
I did, but now
no desire.
The next time the Birdcage is on TV, I probably won't watch it because I'll never get past the fact that Hank Azaria apologized to Indian people for voicing an Indian in a cartoon.
Well, that's the whole thing. What cancel culture is? They want us to cancel out every and anything that is American. And I refuse to do it. I will apologize to no one. Not just, for this kind of ludicrousy.
No.
If I do something, you know, wrong or I make a mistake and whatever, yeah, I'll apologize. But for this kind of nonsense, no.
No, it's crazy.
No, I'm allowed my opinion. You're allowed your opinion. If you don't like my opinion, you're entitled to your own. But don't tell me that I have to bow to your wishes. That's not going to happen. And like I said, Indians are classified as Caucasians. So he was a fool for apologizing.
Yeah, I guarantee you he's a fool for apologizing. But, Diane, he's woke. See, he's woke now.
It's more like he got hit in the head and is... Or he was told, you'll never work again here if you don't apologize.
It's ridiculous. And I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Yes. And the thing is, they're called minorities for a reason. The vast majority of America is still white, whether people like it or not. Blacks make up a little over 14%. Hispanics, I believe it's a bit more now. Together, they don't even equate to the white population. Should they be treated equal? Should all people be treated equal? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's in our Constitution. But equality, and it's going to be in my next article, equality only works when it works both ways.
Otherwise, it's not equal.
And I think we need to cancel cancel culture.
I couldn't agree with you more. Diane's op-ed right now, in case you want to go get it, and I suggest that you do, Weapons of Cultural War. That's the title of it. You go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. It's right there.
And okay, Craig, let me apologize to our listeners. My little slip up there was because of the metal brace around my hand. I cannot control my mouse.
Can we get a mouse control specialist for Diane, please?
Yeah, it was hard to maneuver the writings down, and it just slipped on the brace, and it just I just lost my place there for a second.
I'm surprised.
I will apologize when I make a mistake.
Well, see, I'm just surprised you don't have people to run the mouse for you.
Well, you can give me some of your people.
My people are busy. My people are building a ship so I can go home.
Oh.
My people have their hands full.
Okay. Oh.
Weapons of Cultural War. You can go over there and get it at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. I hope you do, and I hope you share it around. All right, we got to take another little quick break here and get a couple of those station ID things in. When we come back, we're going to be talking Wake Up, America. This is the companion piece to what you just heard. This is the companion to Diane's op-ed. And we're going to get into that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us, folks. More Right Side Patriots after this. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's a Friday night edition of the show, and folks, we're glad to be back after about a month and a half on technical hiatus.
Yes, it is good to be back, folks.
Yeah, we didn't get canceled. I actually had people calling me and sending me emails. Did you guys get canceled?
No, we didn't. Or we might have big mouths, but we didn't cross any lines to get us canceled.
Not yet, anyway. But, you know, we still got one segment to go. It could happen.
Could.
You know, depending on who's listening tonight, it could happen.
It could very well. You never know what will come out of our mouths.
Well, I'll tell you, folks, in the last segment, Diane talked about a cultural war, okay, that's going on, and talking about both the woke culture and the cancel culture and all of that. Well, what you're about to hear now is kind of the companion piece to all of that. It's called Wake Up America. Mm-hmm. Last week, United Airlines got woke. They announced that over the next decade, 50% of all 5,000 pilots they train will be women or people of color. Good for United Airlines. You see, they've decided that skin color and gender is far more important than the pesky, nitpicky requirement that their pilots be able to deliver their passengers to the scene of their destination rather than to the scene of the crash. Personally, I don't give a happy damn what color or gender the pilot is, so long as they know how to fly the plane. But when you make color and gender the deciding factor in who you train to be a pilot, my major concern obviously is not your major concern. There's a lot of this sort of wokeness going around, and none of it makes any sense whatsoever. Baseball also got woke last week when they decided to remove the All-Star game out of Atlanta because of Georgia's new voter ID laws. Good for Major League Baseball. They decided that since Georgia now insists on voter ID, they needed to move the big game to Denver, which is in Colorado, which also has a voter ID law. They say it's racist to demand that people identify themselves in order to vote. By the way, if you buy tickets online for the All-Star game, as most people do for the All-Star game. You'll need your ID in order to pick those tickets up at will call for the game. Diane, what today's woke liberal Marxists are trying to tell you is that black people can't get an ID the way white people can, and therefore requiring an ID to vote is racist. You see, apparently, that means that most black people can't open a bank account or get on an airplane or buy alcohol or cigarettes.
This whole thing is ridiculous because when you think about it, you have to have an ID for a multitude of things. You can't charge without an ID. You can't, do banking without an ID. You can't buy a home without an ID. You can't do a multitude of things without an ID. But the most important right, the right that our military dies for us, that they fight for us, is our right to vote, to keep America free, and that we don't need an ID for. There's the common sense and the logic behind this thinking just isn't there.
You notice that too, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, look, liberal Marxists are claiming that Georgia's new voter laws disadvantage low-income black people and thus suppress the ability of black people to vote. By the way, in the now all-star game-free city of Atlanta, better than 27% of all food stamp or SNAP and welfare recipients are black, and nearly 19% are Hispanic. Guess what? They need an ID to get those benefits. Medicaid and Social Security? Yep, got to have your valid ID to apply for those. Unemployment insurance? You'll need an ID for that. Renting an apartment? Maybe buying a house? IDs are required. If you're driving a car, you are required to have a photo ID in Georgia and in Colorado. One has to wonder how many non-white people get married in Georgia or anywhere else in this country, because to get a marriage license, you have to present your ID. Now, if you believe these liberal Marxists, there can't be any minorities in Georgia with a cell phone, because most cell phones require service plans, and to get a service plan, yep, you got to show your ID. I'm also willing to bet there are plenty of minorities in Georgia who need prescription meds on a daily basis. Well, guess what? No ID, no meds. You can't even buy nail polish at CVS without a valid ID. But requiring a valid ID to vote? Well, that's just plain racist. The All-Star Game would have brought in more than $100 million of revenue to the 51% majority black city of Atlanta. But to teach those damn racist bastards a lesson, Major League Baseball moved that revenue stream to the 7% minority black city of Denver. Good thinking, liberal Marxists. Real good thinking. Naturally, when it comes to being woke, more and more corporations are going down the rabbit hole, and it's showing in their television commercials. In a desperate effort to not be canceled, nearly every commercial you see today that features married couples features mixed-race couples. The truth is, only 15% of all married couples in the United States are of mixed race. But you certainly wouldn't know that by watching any given commercial. Here's another stat that seems to be at odds with the new woke television commercial culture. Apparently, the chance that an interracial couple will divorce after 10 years of marriage is 41% compared to 31% for same-race marriages, which indicates that after a decade of being married to somebody of a different race, there are substantially fewer than 15% of all marriages that are of mixed race. So what's the point of these obvious manipulations of the truth? Social reengineering? Well, Diane, that's kind of what they hope you believe. But that, too, I think, is a manipulation of the truth, because the last thing the woke liberal Marxists want you to know is the truth.
Well, the whole thing is, if you do know the truth, they lose their power of control.
Mm.
And the whole idea behind cancel culture and woke culture and all the other cultures that they can come up with is control. Control the masses. Everybody march in lockstep to how the powers that be want them to march.
I'll tell you what. This is not social reengineering. Okay? It's not an engineering thing. It's a manufacturing equation. From 2016 through the end of Trump's term in office, the liberal Marxists could do nothing but watch one of their decades-long voting blocks unravel. As Trump's policies lifted minorities and women from the malaise of liberal oppression, and the nation saw record employment, record wages, and record job creation for minorities, those minorities began to wake up to the fact that their decades of socioeconomic oppression was at the hands of liberal policies. In turn, they started to gravitate toward conservative policies in the voting booth. Liberal Marxists had to manufacture votes in 2020 in order to make up for the losses related to their policies. Policies, by the way, designed to hold minorities and women back. To hold back the same people the liberal Marxists claim to be the champions of. Conservative policies were lifting these people out of poverty, lifting them out of the oppression engineered by liberal policies, and removing them from the label of victims. You see, without victims, liberalism cannot even exist, as they offer nothing of substance to anyone they claim to represent. The most violent cities in America are all run by liberals and have been for decades. Here's something else liberal Marxists hoped you would never discover. America ranks third in the world for murders. But if you remove the cities of Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C., St. Louis, and New Orleans from that mix, out of 192 countries on earth, America ranks 189th for murders. All of those cities I just named have been run by liberals for decades, and all of them have been the recipients of extremely strict gun laws. The top U.S. cities where homelessness is concerned, liberal-run sanctuary cities. The top 10 poorest cities, top 10 most unhealthy cities, the top 10 most dangerous, and the top 10 cities with the highest unemployment are almost exclusively run by liberals and have been for decades. They're run by the very people minorities have been voting for decades, because those liberals have claimed for decades to be the only ones who can make their lives better. Wokeness is not so much a cultural phenomenon as it is a tactic. The goal now is, through the tactic of wokeness, they intend to manufacture a new crop of victims, of which they will claim to be the only party capable of lifting them from oppression. Trust me, this is a multi-layered tactic. If you don't agree with allowing illegal aliens to flood their way over the border, you're not woke. But once they're here, they'll accept lower wages, thus causing higher unemployment, primarily amongst minorities. Presto, new victims. If you oppose reparations for black people who were never slaves, you're not woke. And once those victims of slavery who never were slaves to begin with start receiving their ballot bribes, presto, new victims. If you want schools open, you're not woke. But as long as schools in mostly liberal-run cities and states remain closed, and the students fall so far behind they can't catch up without liberal policies, creating a sliding curve for grading, which only creates the illusion of scholastic success, presto, new victims. Voting laws, Diane, like the ones now being implemented in Georgia, will make it very difficult for illegal aliens to vote there. And it'll put a severe dent in the ability of liberal Marxists to cheat there. Liberal Marxists know damn well that minorities in Georgia don't have a problem getting an ID. They just don't want the door shut to their ability to manipulate elections.
Well, everything is about manipulation and labeling things. That's the whole modus operandi of the Democrat Party. But, you know, this whole woke culture thing, this illusions that they try to portray, even filters down to something as simple as the basic family unit.
You know, it really does. Liberal Marxists want to create an illusion of a minority or a majority of families, I should say, being multiracial, blended, happy, prosperous. But in reality, they're doing everything they can to manufacture deeper and deeper divides between the races so as to manufacture more and more victims. If you get hired as an airline pilot based on meeting a demographic criteria deemed appropriate by woke liberal Marxists rather than on your qualifications, you were a victim saved by liberal Marxist policies. If you have to pay tuition to attend a liberal Marxist asylum of higher indoctrination, you're a victim that needs saving by liberal Marxist policies. If you're offended by anything, you're a victim. Perhaps the most diabolical element of wokeness is that it creates real victims. People who've had their businesses burned to the ground, people who've lost their livelihoods due to being canceled, people who can no longer express themselves openly and freely, and people who are still unable to gather for events or travel due to manufactured pandemic panic. But the liberal Marxist woke machine isn't there for those people. They don't count because they're nothing but tools, a mean to an end. So the bottom line, wokeness is but a tactic used to manufacture victims to be conned into voting for liberal Marxists. And if you can't see that, you're woke, but you're certainly not awake. Wake up, America. The alarm is sounding.
You know, there's an expression called a special kind of stupid. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah, I have. That's funny that you bring that up. Yeah, you're
right. That kind of fits this woke culture to a T. People who are buying into that nonsense really are a special kind of stupid because they don't see that victimhood is staring them right in the face.
You know, you couldn't be more correct. You know, John Wayne once said, life is tough. It's tougher when you're stupid.
He's right.
You know, yeah, I mean, and that's what we're seeing here. You know, we got a bunch of stupid people that are crying about how tough their lives are, and yet they're the ones making their own lives tougher.
Tougher. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, folks, you can kind of see how these two articles, Diane's op-ed and this one, this commentary, kind of work together. We're talking about the same thing. We're coming at it. We're attacking it from two different angles.
Right. I came at it from a philosophical end, and Craig came at it from what's happening, examples of what is happening because of this cancel and woke culture nonsense. The only culture that should be in this country is American culture.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Apparently, there's a lot wrong with it, according to liberals.
Yeah, I can't figure it out.
And I think a lot of it has to stem from jealousy. People are jealous of people who maybe have a better lot in life. Never mind that they might have worked their whole lives to achieve what they have. The fact is they have it and someone else doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Never mind that they've been on welfare, that they've done drugs, that they basically wasted their lives. That doesn't matter. According to the liberals, they should still have what you have. And this whole thing is just plain wrong.
From Alpha to Omega, it's wrong.
Yes.
You know, you talk about American culture. There's nothing wrong with American culture. Okay?
Not at all.
You know, in a way, I kind of hesitate to bring this up, but I'm going to. Okay? While we were on our little non-self-imposed hiatus because of technical difficulties, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a piece called, it was called Common Sense.
Yes.
And I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to go through it. But folks, if you go to thenationalpatriot.com and just scroll down one article, it was called Common Sense. I have gotten so many great comments on this. People have really loved it. And you want to know what American culture is? Read that.
You know when, excuse me, you know when common sense sort of left the minds of many? When they voted for Barack Obama.
Boy, isn't that right?
That's when common sense really left this country. Billy Boy Clinton was bad enough. But Obama?
Oof. Don't get me started.
And we're going to get him again with Kamala. You notice he's been laying low publicly, yet behind the scenes he's pulling all the strings.
You know it. You know he is.
Yes.
You know?
It's just going from bad to worse. 1776, folks. Remember that.
Yep. The sequel.
The sequel.
Yeah. Here's what we want you to do, folks. We want you to go to over to Diane's blog, The Patriot Factor, which you can find at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Got a great op-ed sitting there just waiting for you, Weapons of Cultural War. And grab that link, read it, share it, get it out there. While you're at it, go over to thenationalpatriot.com. That's my blog. And check out Wake Up America. And then scroll down one and read, it was called Common Sense.
Yeah, you know? That's just gone. It's totally gone.
It is gone. But I'll tell you, you know, if you're if you're a baby boomer, or maybe even before that, you're going to recognize your childhood in that commentary.
Even some in Generation X will recognize.
Yeah. Some will. You know, the millennials will go, you did what?
Yeah. You mean you didn't eat a Tide Pod? You know, it's beyond belief. You know, we expect young people to be a little frivolous, you know, impulsive, but we expect them to grow out of it. But it seems the last, you know, one or two generations, they just don't grow out of it. And that's not a good sign, folks.
No. No, I mean, you know, it used to be you could find some pretty mature people in their early teens.
Right.
Not anymore. I mean, they're few and far between. Now, I'm lucky enough that I know a couple of kids. I don't think either one of them are in their teens now. Because I think the one that was just turned 20, I'm not sure. But, you know, a friend of mine's two sons, and I regard them as my friends as well, Chase and Tyler. You know, these kids, you know, and when I first met them, it was about 5 years ago, so they were both teens. I mean, teens, early teens, right? And you would have, when you're talking to them, if you weren't looking at them and just listening to them, you would have thought you were talking to 35 and 40 year old people.
There are some that had the smarts enough to understand that these people who are following this nonsense, they're being manipulated.
Well, they are. Yeah, and you know what people like Chase and Tyler, and you, Diane, you're going to qualify in this statement as well, okay? You know what else they had? You know what other advantage they had? It's called good parenting.
Yeah.
They had parents that gave a damn, and parents that looked out for them, parents that taught them things, like common sense.
Yes. Definitely common sense, the importance of education. And we don't mean liberal indoctrination. We mean the importance of real education, the importance of good morals. I mean, that used to be commonplace. Now it's a rarity, it seems.
It's almost unheard of.
Yeah. And you that's know? Very sad.
If you can teach your kids how to think instead of what to think, right, you're going to wind up with some pretty good kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
I fall into that category with my kids.
That's why I said you're going to fall into this category.
Yeah.
You know, because I know.
I hope more parents understand that it doesn't take a village to raise children. It takes good parenting. That's all it takes.
You're right. It does not take a village to raise a child. It does, on the other hand, take a village to raise an idiot.
And we got plenty of them.
Plenty of village idiots running around.
Yes.
Folks, we hope you enjoyed the show.
99% of them have a D next to their name.
Yes, they do. And that's not their grade. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you missed any part of it, you want to listen to it again, you want to share it with others, well, you go to RSP Radio 1. That's the number one, RSPRadio1.com. Click the podcast button, and there it is. You can become one of our pod people. We love our pod people.
Yes. And we'll have a podcast up tomorrow. I got to remember how to post it after 2 months.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yes.
Look, we're glad to be back. Thank you, folks, for being here and taking the little ride with us tonight. And hopefully we're done with all the technical issues. We're done with the server issues. My computer's going to keep working. Diane's not going to fall down again, and break her wrist again. It's just been a cascade of horrible luck, but hopefully that's all behind us now.
Yes, hopefully it is.
We've enjoyed our time with you more than you've enjoyed your time with us, I'm sure. But we appreciate you being here with us anyway. We'll be back next Tuesday, same time, 7 o'clock Eastern time, on RSPRadio1.com. And with that, Diane, I think it's time for you and me to call it a night.
Yes. Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we will see you Tuesday.
Yes.